Welcome to the Nutritious and Delicious podcast with me, Bethany. Our mission is to support busy parents all over the world to learn time management while taking care of your nutritional, physical, and mental health. After all, a healthy family starts with a healthy parent. So today I'm super excited here. I have Dr. Brown with me, and she is a sleep medicine physician, and she is also the founder of Restful Sleep MD. She helps busy moms and their children to prioritize sleep, move from being drained and exhausted to energized and invigorated. Dr. Brown actually provides strategies to optimize sleep for families who need it the most with her virtual practice. So I'm so incredibly grateful that you're here today, Dr. Brown, and helping us here with this podcast here today. So welcome.
Thanks for having me, Bethany. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so I'm really excited because this episode here is going to be all around sleep. And today's episode is all about sleep education for the anxious mind. So I think just with everything going on in the world, I think a lot of people are struggling with this, and not just people that are, you know, not having sleep because of babies or things like that. It seems to be an ongoing thing for a lot of people. So can you kind of give us sort of your start of how you started doing this and what you're actually seeing in your virtual practice right now with families?
Yes, absolutely. So you're right. It's definitely mental health and wellness is being threatened, right? Even in the season we're in. But for me, really, my passion for sleep and educating and empowering busy moms came from my own personal story. So, you know, throughout training, I mean, mental training is pretty intense. So, you know, I kind of, you know, burned the candle at both ends, you know, and even at that time, not just just the fact that there was a lot to do and you just feel like sleep can just not be a priority. At this point, I need to get the work done. I need to excel at my studies and graduate, and then maybe we'll figure out how to sleep. But then I realized that I was actually, you know, doing myself more harm, because the more I tried to power through like a whole night of study, the more exhausted I was. And I realized in the morning, I could not remember anything I studied all night, or I would go to the study hall trying to pull an all nighter and just like fall asleep and then wake up with my neck cramps, still very foggy. And during that time, of course, over time, because that's even been shown in with a lot of evidence, a lot of studies, that, you know, insufficient sleep or chronic sleep deprivation is associated with anxiety, is associated with moodiness, it's associated with poor executive function, all the things that I really needed to thrive during training. I mean, so I kind of pushed through and then got into the season of kids and struggled at that time. So my sleep was now not so much disturbed because of training. It was disturbed by my kids not sleeping, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now I'm a physician and I'm seeing patients in practice, and you know, they bring their kids to me and the moms are like, I can't sleep because he can't sleep. I can't sleep because I'm so stressed out. I'm so worked up. And I really started to see this theme and I knew I could really relate with them. And so that really made me say, okay, let's really help. Let's really not only give you education at this time, but really provide strategies to that you can implement. And that really led to the birth of Restful Sleep MD. Mm-hmm. And so here I am.
That's amazing. I can totally attest to what you're saying, because like, first of all, with the business stuff and like work, like we have a lot of moms that are doing stay at home stuff. They're working full time. And also, you know, they're trying to go to school at the same time, some of them. So it's like, you're almost trying to skip sleep and try and sort of get as much stuff as you can done in the day. And it's like, well, you know, I should be able to function on 4 or 5 hours of sleep, but everybody is very different, myself included. There's late nights sometimes with business, and you know, I've ended up falling asleep at my desk like just last week. Like, I also go through this too myself. And I think for myself personally, I really have to listen to when my brain is exhausted. Like you said, I've done things in the past where I'm working when my brain is tired, and that's when I forget to do things properly. I forget to save things, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I've just made my day so much worse now, because mm-hmm. now I have to go back and redo things. And I'm like, why didn't I just go take a nap? So what are you finding are kind of like the most common problems that you see with moms that are coming to contact you about this?
Yeah. Definitely a lot of what you just listed. It's the obligations, first of all. We have this 24 hours, the gift we've been giving. But the thing about it is, if you go through evolution, the recommended number of hours that we need to sleep has not changed. And for adults, it's about 7 to 9 hours. And so we, as our, you know, as our world has gotten smaller, because we have this 24-hour globalization where you should be asleep here, but you're working with someone in Japan who is so if you're not careful, you could just constantly be on. So a lot of it is society, you know, that's a huge one. And a lot of issues where I'm seeing is also like individual, like the pressures we place on ourselves, like you said, as moms, as entrepreneurs, as caregivers, you know, as parents, as family members, all that pressure. Some of it is put on us, some of it we put on ourselves, because we set this bars that are so high for ourselves, and we never give time for ourselves to just be. And then we bring all those pressures into bed with us. So then that's what contributes to a lot of anxiety at bedtime. Oh my goodness, I didn't get through my day. Did I serve well? Did I do the best I could? Should I do a little bit more? You know, and then what ends up coming into bed with us, in addition to that anxiety, is our cell phone, which has become our workspace, right? It's those emails, the texts, the posts, the chats, you know? So those habits also contribute to it. And then sometimes I do see, you know, of course, medical problems that could be contributing to our sleep. Really, in my capacity in Restful Sleep MD, I definitely try to refer moms and all that to see their own physician, just because, you know, they know the bigger story and things like that. But I do see there's usually an interplay of so many things. Anxiety, for one. And that anxiety really placed on us by so many demands that we place on ourselves, the society places on ourselves, on us, as well as those less than optimal habits that we get into.
There's so much stuff that you just said there. I was like, kind of like, oh yeah, like it's amazing. Like I didn't even sort of think about it. Like we've become such an online world that everywhere, basically it's, the internet doesn't sleep. It's online. It's 24/7. If you are running a business, you're sort of outstretching your time to respond to clients and things like that. And I think as you were talking, I sort of heard in my head, it might possibly need to be a boundary, because I think a lot of people, especially if they're working from home or doing their own businesses, you never want to say no. That's sort of, I think, what a lot of people struggle with, including family as well. Like you don't want to say no. If somebody needs you and they're struggling at nighttime and you're trying to sort of talk them through something, but it's almost like someone giving you a backpack and then saying like, okay, go to bed now. You've got all these things that you have to do and think about. And you're kind of like, I don't know what to do with this. And I think the phone is a big one. And I think that's where a lot of people I've talked to, they have like these blue lights or something like that on their phone if they are reading. I know for myself personally, I've had to switch from reading off my phone to reading a book, because and I noticed, because I do fall asleep, like I literally have a book, like, and I'm just like falling asleep into the book. But I was doing I was doing that with my phone, and I think most people could probably attest to like laying in bed and then the phone slaps them in the face because they fall asleep. But that's, you know, you're responding to stuff. You're trying to keep up with like what's going on in the other side of the world. And then obviously on top of that, if you have very small children or family responsibilities, you know, if they're waking up throughout the night, like I can attest to that one too. My first baby was not a sleeper, and still to this day, I still struggle trying to get him to sleep. But he's a very light sleeper, but that, I think that was probably the toughest time for sleep for myself. Now it's more just, I think, like a mental game for a lot of moms and entrepreneurs and stuff. So with that as well, do you see like this has kind of changed since like the pandemic? Do you think people have always had these sleep issues, or do you think that they've gotten a lot worse? Like, kind of what have you seen probably in the last 2 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. And just so I don't forget, one of the things you mentioned about the boundary issue. So one of the things I really try to help moms focus on is that mindset. You know, when you hear, oh yeah, sure, everybody tells you you need to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep, and then you as a mom, you're like, oh really? Okay, sounds good. I have no idea how that's gonna happen. I don't think that's for me. Yeah. And so some of that is really working on that mindset. Now, to answer your question, over the course of the last 2 years, mm-hmm. a lot of what I'm seeing now is similar, but it's now amplified. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Because one of the things that has happened on top of just the globalization and the 24 hours constant go that we're in with the world and with the internet and things like that is isolation. And isolation has now contributed a huge piece as well to what moms are experiencing, mm-hmm. and that's impacting their sleep. So, I mean, while we do find community online, I mean, I met you. I haven't seen you in person. I would love to visit and see you in person. Yeah. But it's been such a blessing.
Yeah.
And people have now really use that as a way to connect with other people. Like, I'm alone, I'm in a community, or not necessarily in a community where I can connect with people, and I want to reach out. Right. So that reaching out is a blessing, but it comes at a price, right? Then you're spending more time on your phone. You did spend time on your phone before the pandemic, but now even more so. A lot of businesses were moved online because of the pandemic. So again, it's all things that were there before, but now even more.
It's just amplified.
And mm-hmm. even for the pandemic in and of itself, for people that had, you know, COVID and things like that, some have had issues with sleep just over the course of time, this past 2 years as well. And again, the only thing that I would say that was a plus that I saw is in teenagers, interestingly enough, during the time when they were, when we were all home, mm-hmm. a lot of schools were starting later. So that was beneficial for teenagers. So that's one positive thing. Okay. But then, of course, they spent time on their phones and all that. So whatever extra time they could spend sleeping, some just spent it on their phones and things. So a lot of it has been just amplified. I would say anxiety as well has become so paramount. A lot of people are so anxious. And anxiety, mood disorders definitely impact our ability to sleep. It impacts the ability for our minds to be able to rest and be quiet, to really get into sleep. And so it's this loop we're in most of the time, especially over the last 2 years. Yeah.
It makes me think that there's a lot of these coping mechanisms that have been taken away. Mm. Like, I know, for example, like when the gyms closed and things like that, that was something that was a stress reliever for me. So therefore, if I wasn't going to the gym, then I was sort of set up for not really good sleep myself, because again, I had so much anxiety, and I like to work out to get rid of that anxiety. So again, if you're kind of meeting friends or going to restaurants and that was kind of your thing, or going to the gym or meeting up for a group walk with moms or something along those lines, and you can't do these things anymore, it sort of sets your day up, I've noticed. So sleep is kind of like, we get to the end of the day and it's like, you know, did you kind of get your needs met throughout the day? And not many people have been, because they've sort of just been left at home to figure out new ways to manage this stress. And I think people, again, you're in an environment where you've got your kids home, now your partner's home, and it's kind of just a recipe for disaster, unfortunately, for a lot of people, you know. We're seeing that everywhere. So what can you kind of tell these moms to sort of prepare themselves for better sleep, if it's mindset, nutrition, habits they've learned? Like, what's something that you can kind of give moms to take away from this, that maybe they are kind of stuck in this situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great, great question. So again, like I mentioned, it all starts with that mindset.
Yeah.
Right. Really acknowledging the fact that I should do better. So one of the things that I like to say is, you know, and we do know when you talk about health, right, we all want to be healthier versions of ourselves. We want to be more vibrant versions of ourselves. We usually will focus on exercise. Like you said, when you exercise, it helps your mood. It helps you. It helps your heart. It helps your entire body's function. When you eat well, right? We are what we eat. It also helps you, right? Mm-hmm. Sleep is a third pillar of health. It's a critical pillar of health. In fact, if you sleep well, you exercise better. You get better bang for your buck, so to speak. If you sleep well, you metabolize better. So even when you choose healthy, when you make healthy food choices, your metabolism is better when you sleep as well. So really making that as a foundation to then build on is so important. And so a lot of the work I usually would say we need to work on is on our minds. And what that entails is, okay, sleep is important. I understand it now. Sleep is important for my mood. Sleep is important for my my physical health. Sleep is important for my ability to create and communicate and really be the better person I can be. And this is all evidence-based. Mm-hmm. Sleep is important to help me keep that weight off, actually, yes. Yeah. and decrease heart disease and all that. So yes, I understand. I think we start with the place of information and then we start to say, okay, I'm ready to sleep. How do I go about it? I've been told 7 to 9 hours is recommended. That has not changed. Some people are shorter. Some people need that 9 hours. Now you understand where you need to go. That's your goal. So you set that goal. And then you acknowledge where you are. Where am I right now on my sleep journey? And what is limiting me from getting the right number of sleep and good quality sleep? Right. And sometimes this may take a little bit of time just reflecting. Is it the boundary issues? Is it the backpack I'm bringing into bed with me? Mm-hmm. Is it my need, my FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. Or is it the need to meet other people's obligations? You really have to be true to yourself because every single one of, is it the kids that are not sleeping, right? Every single one of those things contributes. Practical things like, is it what I'm eating, what I'm bringing into my body? Is it my lack of exercise? Because if you don't exercise well, you're not tired enough sometimes to be able to sleep. So really tackling those and going, you know, really into detail about those barriers and then coming up with strategies to eliminate them, minimize them, delegate some and things like that before you can then move forward. So that's where that whole mind. So you can see that's a chunk of the work because when you start to prioritize sleep, you start to look at things different. You actually become more efficient because you're like, listen, I need to hit that bed by 10 p.m. What do I need to do? How do I need to manage my time? What are the things I need to say no to be able to meet that goal of getting into bed? Because when I sleep better, I'm a better mom, I'm a better. Right. So it's actually going to end up being more beneficial to those people you may need to say no to. So again, I can't overemphasize that mindset work.
Yeah.
And then after that, you then start to talk about what are practical things I can do. So again, I love the exercise. Movement is so important. Mm-hmm. Creating healthy sleep habits, which I'll definitely, I have a great tool that you can use to create those healthy sleep habits. And then nutrition as well. So what we eat can impact our sleep. So if you're someone who loves that lovely glass of wine right before sleep, it helps you fall asleep. But sometimes when it's metabolized, it leaves deposits in your body that then wakes you up. And so your sleep is not well rested.
Right.
So you start to think about what are those things that I'm eating? Am I eating like a large, heavy meal before bed? You know, you want to eliminate things like that. And then I also have ideas of some healthy foods that actually promote good sleep for us. So eating foods that contain things like magnesium is really good because magnesium actually relaxes you, decreases your blood pressure, decreases that cortisol and helps you to sleep well. So eating leafy green vegetables, taking supplemental magnesium if you need to, eating foods that contain things like calcium is really good, because that is, it helps produce tryptophan, which is a precursor for like melatonin, which is the hormone that really helps us sleep well. So those are some foods. So finding those foods that can help us.
I love and that.
And then like the habits you said. So what I created is an acronym, because when you Google healthy sleep habits, it's overwhelming. If 20 things come up and you're like, oh my God, I know I want to make good choices, but this is setting me up for failure. Which one's
going to be?
So I came up with an acronym. It's CREATE. So C is consistent, and having a consistent sleep time and bedtime. Mm-hmm. That is so critical, because what it does is it cues your body. It's like you're training your internal clock or your circadian rhythm to say, this is the time we go to bed, and your brain is not seeking like, what are we doing right now? Are we here for bed now? Are we, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So create C is consistent sleep time and bedtime. R is a routine. We are all creatures of habits. Mm-hmm. So finding a calm, relaxing routine that you do automatically before bed, something calming, taking a bath, listening to some music, reading a book, like you said, stuff like that. And then E is, the environment. So optimize your environment. So your room should be cool. It should be dark. It should be noise free. Really setting that, I call it that sacred space for sleep. Then A is assign the bed for sleep and sleep only in bed. So bed is for sleep and sex. That's it. Nothing else. So don't make your bed your office. Don't make your bed your cafeteria. Don't make your bed your, what else do we do?
Watch People movies. Use it for TV room. Yeah, TV room.
Exactly. TV rooms, you know. So because our brain makes associations, and those associations confuse our bodies as to when we should fall asleep. C is my favorite. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Tackle technology. You mentioned it. The blue light from TV, from video games, from phones, decreases the melatonin that our brains produce. And so then it's just harder to fall asleep and stay asleep. I know a lot of people get the filter, the blue light blocking glasses or the filter. But in addition to that light, another reason why phones can wake you up is those notifications. So really you want to move that phone, you know, what I get is, well, my phone is my alarm clock. You can move that alarm clock away from your bed. Silence it. If it rings, you get up and go get it. I think that's better than having it right next to you, where it can become a temptation.
Right.
And then E, the last E, last but not the least, is eliminate. So I talked about some of the things you may need to eliminate from your diet, things like alcohol right before bed, things like caffeine, right? A lot of moms are on caffeine constantly, but again, it goes back to, why are you needing that caffeine?
So right.
Caffeine may keep you awake, but it stays in your blood, in your bloodstream for a long time.
Yeah.
And so at bedtime, you're not fully rid of it. So getting rid of that caffeine, at least I usually will say, don't take caffeine after about 12 noon or so, ideally, for you to be able to sleep. So that's it. I think those are just like easy ways to really get started on getting more sleep and all.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that you have the acronym CREATE, because it gives it an easy way just to remember, because like you said, you can, there's so many moms that will Google this and it's like 20 ways to like go to bed and you're like, where do I start? And that, I think it's an overwhelm for people. There's a few things I can sort of take away right off the bat from that. So definitely with food, turkey's a great one. That's usually my number one, because it's got tryptophan, helps you fall asleep. Hence why most people after Thanksgiving pass out and fall asleep, including myself. So turkey's a great one. And when you mentioned magnesium too, that's actually a really good one for sleep. I do recommend typically moms to have a bath and put magnesium bath salts in. That helps relax the body. I personally use like a magnesium gel, and I put it on the back of my legs sometimes if I have like muscle cramps. I get like the restless legs. And I know for me, that's like a magnesium deficiency. As soon as I put it on, I'm like out like a light in 20 minutes. So I find that helps. And also keeping your room cool, your, you know, your bedroom, that environment. Like I'm very much like a no TV type of person in the room. I don't need that extra stimulus. Like the phones are bad enough, And I also put mine on silent and I have to put it away somewhere because I'm also, you know, more inclined to like, oh, I got to quickly check my email. But that turns into like an hour of doing something else on your phone. And you're like, what am I doing? Like, it's a bad habit, unfortunately. And sometimes I just have to turn it off for the night and just leave it and like not touch it. And I think that's a really great way. What I was also noticing what you were saying is that it sounds like sort of checking in with yourself and seeing where you're at. So it could be sort of a boundary issue. I know, you know, a lot of moms too, like if you're on the phone too late and you're trying to sort of help somebody else out, like where's your boundary for you need to get off that phone call and start winding yourself down versus like kind of ramping up your emotions. If it's like a continual thing that you're going through. Also the children, prepping them sort of into routines as well as yourself into bedtime. Because I know a lot of parents struggle to get their kids to bed because it's sort of like, okay, we're doing this now, bedtime, you know, and they're like, there's no transition period.
Yeah.
And that goes for adults too. Like adults also, you know, need that wind down time. Mm-hmm. And I'm somebody where like, I can't be sort of really focused on something and then all of a sudden go to bed because then my brain's just like doing this like hamster wheel kind of thing going on. So I think there's also, I think there's that transition period that you talked about, and I love that. So I love the fact that you have that CREATE acronym. So I would love for the moms to be able to, you know, get anything from you like this. Like, do you have something where they can contact you to get help?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, one of the things I wanted to highlight, because we talked about like sleep education and habits for the anxious mind. Yeah. Now you've done all this, you've followed this acronym, you know, you've adopted these habits and you notice that, okay, I'm now in bed. I did everything and my mind is racing. Mm-hmm. One of the things I would recommend that I do and I recommend to my clients all the time is either some form of mindfulness. So either through meditation or journaling. That really helps you just kind of set your mind and kind of get it still. So you could either go through, it depends on what works for you. Some people have like apps they'll just listen to. Again, you have to do this carefully because you don't want that blue light where you can meditate, and some people just fall asleep with it. Or just do that journaling. If your mind is racing, let's say, okay, what is it? What am I? Is it the to-do list for tomorrow? Am I trying to hold on to those thoughts so I don't forget them? I tell people to do what you call a brain dump. Write it all down. It doesn't have to make sense. Whatever it is, whatever words are coming into your mind that's creating that hamster wheel kind of spiral. Is it the groceries? Is it the call you need to make? Just write it on that piece of paper or a notebook right next to your bed and just kind of empty it. That way, you know, you're going to address it tomorrow, right? Tomorrow will come. And then if you're in that spiral where those intrusive thoughts are also affecting your day, affecting your mood, it may be time to see a specialist. It may be time to seek counseling, to seek therapy and things like that. So really, again, it comes back to that mindset. Where am I? What's going on? How do I get to where I need to be? And seeking therapy is absolutely okay.
That's great. I think a lot of people sort of need to check in on that, like, is it a reoccurring problem that you've tried all these things, and then you know, where do you go from there? So I love the fact that you came on here today giving us all this information. I'm gonna take these nuggets away from myself because I have been struggling with my own sleep lately. And it's tough because, like, obviously being an entrepreneur too, you go to bed with lots of creative thoughts and it's almost like, now I need to go back to work because I have all these ideas. And you have, like you said, brain dump, write everything out because you think, if I don't remember this, I'm going to like be anxious that I can't fall asleep. So, and I've woken up with ideas too, like in the middle of the night, like, oh, I have this great idea. It's like, I have to write it
put
down.
It down.
So
absolutely. Yeah.
That's great. So thank you.
So in terms of things that I feel like you can get started with, again, the that checklist or cheat sheet or worksheet, whatever works for you, is on my website. I think that's a great place to start because you can start sleeping better tonight We can start tonight. We don't have to wait.
Yeah.
So if you go over to my website, it's called restfulsleepmd.com. You can download that checklist. And it's, you know, this is evidence-based. It's not just fluff. It's things that have been shown to work.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great place to start. And also because of my passion to help moms, because I've walked the walk, and it prompted me to get trained to help others so they don't have to go through this throughout their lives. I do provide one-on-one coaching. It's limited, but definitely available. And so if you do head over to my website as well, you can get on a discovery call and we could sort of talk through how, you know, I could be a fit to help you really get that sleep and get things prioritized the way they should.
I love it. Well, I'm going to put the website here on the show notes to everybody so that way they can access the acronym booklet for yourself and also be able to give Dr. Brown here a call just regarding like some issues that you may be having with your sleep or the situation with the sleep in the house at home right now. So thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on today. And like I said, I'm going to take these nuggets away for myself because I really need them right now. So I appreciate you coming on here today, Dr. Brown.
Thank you so much, Bethany.